All right. Corey, why don't you introduce yourself, and do you have a wife and all that stuff?
Well, I'm Corey Beebe. I am married to Danielle. Many of the women know her. She works weekends. Sorry. Now we're good. She does work weekends, so she's typically not here, but is involved in some of the other stuff. We do have one son. He's almost 2.5 years old, and he's quite the character.
Just like his dad.
Yeah.
And you've probably seen Corey out at the guest table, the information table. Okay. All right. So, Corey, I'm going to just ask you a few questions, and maybe you can answer these. Okay.
Sure.
How and why did you come to Harvest?
Well, honestly, it was my wife. So, you know, I grew up in a Christian household. Parents were both very Christian, and my grandfather was a minister. Okay. So, raised in that, very active, things like that. about 13 years ago, my mother was in a car accident and in a coma for about a month, in the hospital for about a year. Mm-hmm. Following that instance, I completely left the faith whatsoever. I was angry, I was hostile, things like that. So fortunately, my wife happened to drive by one time, saw the sign and said, you know, let's go to church. She came 2 weeks without me. I kept making up excuses. I'm going to stay home, need to mow the lawn, things like that. And then finally the third week, I finally kind of gave in and said, sure, I'll give it a shot. And I've been coming here for about 2 years since.
Boy, that happens a lot here, doesn't it? Yeah, it's pretty amazing. When did you get to know Jesus Christ as Savior?
I was rather young. Whether I truly understood, you know, giving myself to the Lord and that type of thing, you know, I was pretty young. I definitely, after leaving the faith, you know, no prayer, no reading Bibles, things like that, reaffirmed my faith while attending here.
Good, good. Okay, so what difference has it made in your life?
Yeah, I could not even begin to tell you.
We'll try.
Well, we only have 30 minutes or so.
Yeah.
So it was more, you know, the anger and the hostility, the regrets, things like that, have definitely been lifted from me. You know, one thing that I've recently kind of understood, we always talk about God's grace to us. Well, now I've learned that I also had to show grace to God and begin believing him again. It's definitely improved my me as a man, as a husband, and as a father.
Good. Great. All right. I mentioned a little bit, but you started serving, and you're on the greeter team?
Yes.
Okay. And how has actually serving God affected you?
It's definitely made a difference. I feel like I have more of a purpose in the church, but also, you know, getting to meet new guests as well as, you know, regular attendees, and becoming more involved in building those relationships, not only with God, but through other people to God.
Okay, good. All right. What would you recommend to people here?
Biggest thing is get involved, whether it be, you know, attending Band of Brothers or Mommy's Coffee, things like that, Awanas, and not only being involved in those things, but also contributing. There's no contribution too small. You know, for the greeting team, simply opening up the door and saying good morning to someone, really means a lot. And, you know, there is no contribution too small.
Do you need more people in the greeting team?
We always need more people.
Okay, good, good. Well, thank you, Corey. It's nice to hear from you. We love changed lives, don't we?
Amen.
Isn't it great? Amen. Thank you so much. Yeah, give him a hand. Hey, Corey, come on over here, and let me just pray for you for a second. Father, I just pray for Corey as he continues to serve, and especially as his wife isn't able to come to church. Lord, I pray you will continue to grow him into maturity, into the likeness of Christ. And we thank you for his willingness to talk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. You know, now, he has the same last name as me, which is, I mean, that's a huge coincidence. I know when I first moved to Denver, there were three Blackwells in there, and one of them was a Stephen L. Blackwell, just like mine, and he had bad credit. And I was always getting dinged, and I'd have to call him and get it straightened out. And I finally found him, and I called him, and they said, "Will you move out of Denver, because you're driving me crazy?" And we laughed, and he did. Not probably because I asked him, because people were chasing him. But anyhow, so John is on our leadership team, does a great job. He's in charge of the technology and the service area, timing and all that kind of thing. And he serves us well. So he's going to speak today. Would you give him a hand? Yeah. Come on up here. Let me talk to you. Father, I just pray that you be with John as he talks to us.
And Father, may you be glorified in all he says, and may he, as he speaks, may the Holy Spirit really work in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning.
As a lot of you know, we've been going through 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse by verse, and Steve, who, if you haven't figured out, is my father. I will refer to him as Steve, even though it's awkward for me. But he started a few weeks ago on verse 8, and then a couple weeks later, I think he did verse 4.
12.
And then he moved back to verse 1, and I don't know, am I supposed to do verse 2 or 12 or go back to chapter 1? I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure he flunked kindergarten or something. We're going to go ahead and go to verse 2. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open them and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. But before we read the verse, I want to give a little bit of background about Paul and his trip to Thessalonica before he wrote this verse. In Acts 16, Paul was on his second journey. He was headed up through the Middle East, and he arrived at the city of Philippi, which is in modern-day Greece. And he was there for a while, and he was preaching, and there's this slave fortune teller, a female, and she was possessed with a spirit, and she could fortune tell because of this spirit. And so she would follow Paul around, and she would draw a lot of attention to him, and she did this for days. And, you know, Paul's not really doing something that was legal, so I'm sure it was kind of frustrating to him. So eventually he gets fed up with it, and he casts the spirit out of her. Well, this made her owners very angry because this is how they made money from her. And so they grabbed Paul and Silas, who was with him, and they drug him to a marketplace that was really crowded, and they took him to the authorities, and they told the authorities that Paul was preaching. And then the crowd started joining in, and they all wanted to persecute Paul, so the authorities ordered Paul to be stripped, and he was beaten with a rod. And then they threw him in jail, and the story goes on from there. It's a good story. If you get a chance, be sure to check it out, and that's Acts chapter 16. But I think it's good to understand that this happened when he wrote this verse. And so when we read it, keep that in mind. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. But although we suffered earlier and were mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of much opposition. Now, Paul was a conqueror. He was beaten. He was insulted. He was under spiritual attack because he was faithful to God. And he still had the courage to go to the Thessalonians and preach to them. Now, I want to talk about four things about this verse. And the first thing I want to talk about is that Paul was persecuted for Jesus Christ. Now, you're probably like, yeah, that sounds obvious, duh, you know. But, you know, I think sometimes we take up the cross on issues that result in persecution, but it's not quite the same as what Paul was persecuted for, even if it's a godly issue. You know, let me give you an example. A couple years ago, I bought a t-shirt for my wife for her birthday. And on the t-shirt it says, "Porn Kills Love." Now this shirt is made by the organization Fight the New Drug. It's a secular organization. Terry Crews, he's a celebrity, and he's in the TV show Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He has a picture wearing it. You know, Lindsay and I, we love this organization because it educates culture about the harms of pornography, and it really is trying to alter culture's acceptance of pornography. And so when Lindsay puts this shirt on and we go out into public, usually she gets pretty encouraging comments, but she knows that she is at the risk of being persecuted or judged for wearing that shirt. And even though I know, I have no doubt in my mind that God hates pornography, and that the foundation of Lindsay's belief for the harms of pornography come from her relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't believe that if she was persecuted for that shirt, that it's the same kind of persecution that Paul was persecuted for. And, you know, some of these issues might be abortion or a theological stance, maybe a parenting philosophy, social behavior, or social justice, like we're seeing these athletes kneel down over, political beliefs. I think that some of these stances are extremely important to take a stand on. And I think some people are even called to certain ones and some to others. But I think it's a little bit easier to put ourselves out there over these kind of issues. Paul was persecuted for sharing his identity in Christ with others and making himself vulnerable with others by spreading the single and most important and black and white absolute truth that Jesus Christ is Lord and he is the only way for salvation. And that is what I believe it is to truly be persecuted in Christ, rather than just being persecuted over a moral belief or a value. And we are all called to share our faith. Okay, so the second thing I want to talk about is that Paul was insulted and put to shame for Christ. We see in verse 2, he says, "But although we suffered earlier and were mistreated in Philippi." Now, this word mistreated, the definition for the Greek word for it is shamefully treated, or of one who injures another by speaking evil of him. This is not just Paul reiterating that he was beaten. He's actually saying here that he suffered persecution from a more verbal level, probably from the crowd that insulted him. They probably made him feel shameful for being a Christian. A few weeks ago, I was gone, but Bobby did a skit with some of the youth kids, and I got to see a video of it. It was a great skit. I don't know if you guys got to see it or not, but just in case you missed it, in the skit, Bobby was talking to one set of friends about his fear of inviting his other set of friends, Brianna and Jacob, to the Harvest Barbecue. And so Bobby explains in his scenario what's going to happen when he invites them. And in his scenario, he goes up to Brianna, and he invites her. And Brianna bursts out in laughing and starts making fun of him. And everyone laughed. It was kind of funny. We could all relate to it. Paul was insulted and humiliated, but Jesus has great love for those who are insulted in his name. We see in Matthew 5:11, Jesus says, "Blessed are you when people insult you and are persecuted in you and say all kinds of evil things about you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad because your reward is great in heaven." You know, when Paul was being insulted, probably by that crowd, Jesus was looking down like a proud father, and he was pleased with Paul's faithfulness. And I believe that if we are faithful and we are put under that same type of persecution, that Jesus is going to look down on us and he's going to be pleased with our faithfulness towards him. The third thing I want to talk about is that Paul's persecution was spiritually motivated. Paul was personally known by one of Satan's spirits because of the work that he had been doing. We see him referenced by name in Acts chapter 19. But the evil spirit replied to them, I know about Jesus, and I am acquainted with Paul, but who are you? I would imagine that if Satan knows you by name, you're either really helping him or you're really hurting him. And he definitely knew Paul. We can all relate to being attacked spiritually. I think we can relate to being attacked spiritually more than we can physically here in the U.S. I mean, I personally don't even feel like I can relate to being attacked physically, at least because of my faith. Now, I have two older brothers. I can relate to that, but not because of my faith. And for me personally, around this time last year, I was talking with Anthony Munoz over here, and we were talking about doing a marriage ministry with our wives, and so the four of us all got together, and we decided to do the Art of Marriage small group. And after making this decision for about 3 or 4 months, it was probably 3 or 4 of the hardest months on Lindsay and my marriage. I have no doubt in my mind that our decision to do this small group attracted unwanted spiritual attention to my marriage. Satan wanted to scare us off. There were difficult times, and we weren't going to let him win. We had to spend a lot of time in prayer over our marriage. And the Art of Marriage was a great success. We saw relationships form in that group. We saw marriages grow stronger. And after being a part of that group, I saw why we were under attack spiritually. God used Anthony, he used Sarah, he used Lindsay, he used myself to disrupt Satan's work. And I believe Satan really wanted to scare us away because of that. And it was joyful winning that battle with him. And Lindsay and I's marriage is much stronger because of it. Paul was one of Satan's biggest disruptions. And Satan used anyone and anything he could to cause problems for him. He riled up angry mobs, he influenced authorities, and he tried to put fear in Paul. Which brings me to my final and most important point. Paul had courage in Christ to defy his persecutors. If we go back to verse 2, it says, we have the courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of much opposition. Paul defied his persecutors, but he didn't do it with his own strength. In Ephesians 6:10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. After Paul was persecuted in Philippi, he conquered his fears of that persecution, and with courage from God, he picked up and he continued on to Thessalonica. And even though he was shamed and insulted, you know what? After preaching to the Thessalonians for a while, guess what happened? Another mob formed, and they wanted to persecute him again. Paul wasn't stupid. He knew what was waiting for him in Thessalonica. Yet he was bold, and he went and did it anyway. So I want to ask you this morning, is persecution holding you back in your walk with God? Is the fear of persecution maybe preventing you from being bold in Christ? Maybe you're afraid to share your faith with a friend or a coworker out of fear that they're going to reject you. Are you afraid of maybe looking like a fool for Christ? Possibly even right here in this very building? A couple weeks ago, Steve gave a sermon on going through trials, and he explained how Paul and James tell us that we need to find joy in our trials and that God will use those trials to test our heart. If you didn't get to hear that sermon, you can jump online and listen to it. It's a great sermon. God allows persecution so we can go through these trials. We can find joy, and God can test our hearts. We know that God wants us to be bold to the point of being persecuted. And then he wants us to have courage in him to conquer our fear and to be allowed to be persecuted again. And then God will know that our heart is truly after his. In 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Are you being persecuted for living a godly life? Here's an interesting thought. Do you ever try looking for an opportunity to be persecuted for Christ so that you can be pleasing in God's eyes and find joy in the trial? It sounds funny, but it's true. But I want to close with this reminder. If you are being persecuted or you're struggling with being bold in your Christian life because of that fear, remember that no one can separate us from the love of Christ. Romans 8, Paul says in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors in Christ. The rods, the insults, the shame, or all that Satan can throw at us will never be able to separate our love from Christ. He will give us the power. He will give us the strength to be bold so that we can continue to share with others our faith.
We are more than conquerors through Christ. You have overcome this world, this life. We are not bound to sin